rose from behind the reception kiosk and flashed their lasers, the scintillating beams slashing across the lobby to explode the precious lanterns and plunge the area into darkness. But that lasted only a split second, as the puddle oil from the smashed reservoirs touched the glowing metal wicks and ignited into pools of fire. Stubbornly, the droids lasered the spreading oil and seemed confused at the lack of response from the flames. Counting to 10 under his breath, Jack rolled behind a cigarette machine, yanked the armbrust off his back, prepared the one round, then stood and fired. The triple laser stabbed into the Pleadark dispenser, melting deep holes into the machinery as the armbrust made a crack, and a blizzard of plastic flakes mixed with nitrogen snow vomited from the aft end. There was no flash from the muzzle, no contrail or fiery exhaust to mark the path of the AP projectile as it left the tube. The round crossed the lobby at subsonic speed and broke apart in midair, a hailstorm of steel flechettes arriving to tear the kiosk and the droids apart. Vidcams utterly annihilated, hull riddled, the blind droids tottered about on their buckling legs, hydraulic fluid pumping from the legs like greasy blood. The lasers flashed again. But they only hit the front windows, searing brownish spots in the dense material. Using the 10-second recharge lag, the companions stood and cut loose a concentrated volley from their assorted rapid fires. The incoming barrage savagely pounded the droids until they toppled over onto the tattered kiosk. Small fires dotted the lobby, the charring carpet giving off thick clouds of smoke. Returning to the bikes outside, Mildred and Jack got the extinguishers, while Christy and Doc beat out the flames with their coats. If the building went up, there was no way they could find the gateway. Going to the kiosk rubble, Ryan prodded the robots with the Sig Sauer to make sure they were truly chilled, then pumped a few rounds into their exposed circuitry to make sure.
That ought to do it.
The armored sheeting of the hull warped apart, CPU and circuit boards shattering easily under the 9mm rounds. In short order, the fires were under control. Assuming the guard position, Ryan stayed at the kiosk with the flamethrower ready as the rest of the party did a quick wreck of the first floor. They came back in only a couple of minutes. JB emerged from the shadows in the rear of the lobby.
Nothing. Just an elevator bank and a big cafeteria. A lot of people worked here.
Like to know what it was they did.
Ryan went to the office directory hanging from the ceiling above the kiosk. Unfortunately, the bullets from the rapid fires had slammed the board pretty hard, punching dozens of holes through the material and knocking off most of the letters. Only a cryptic scrambling of names and departments remained.
Okay, we do this the hard way. We go floor by floor. Stay tight and ace anything that moves.
No prob.
Jack tossed aside the armbrust and swung around his M203 to work the arming bolt.
Droids!
Dean hit the floor, throwing a grin toward the bathroom. Slipping out of the men's room, a droid strode into view as the sphere bounced along the floor and detonated. The blast lifted the sec machine off the ground, slamming it against the marble wall. Broken to pieces, the robot fell back to the carpet, sparking steadily from a dozen short circuits. Pulling both hand cannons, Doc leveled the Webley. The 44 slug blew open the armored hull, protecting the minicom. Then, Doc fired the Lamar. The massive miniball punched through the CPU and smashed it into a million pieces. The sparks ceased abruptly.
We gotta move fast. These things are gonna be on our ass every step of the way.
Which direction, lover? The penthouse or the basement?
Penthouse. If nothing else, we'll have a good view of the city from up there. That might be helpful.
Agreed.
Heading for the stairwell, the companions braced for another ambush, but the stairs proved to be clear to the next level.
The programmers probably have the machines set to protect the elevators first. Places like this always have emergency generators for the mainframes in case the city power grid went down.
They swept through the array of office cubicles filling the second floor. There was nothing on that floor except for some rats, and the third floor was merely vacant conference rooms, as large and empty as the graves of giants. The fourth floor was strictly maintenance. However, the fifth floor had carpeting once again, the wooden doors elaborately carved, and old paintings and gilded frames adorned the plaster walls. A glass-topped mahogany reception desk was set in a small alcove, with several plush wingback chairs set nearby.
Protocolt Biomedical Corporation. Anybody know what that means?
Most certainly. It is a polyglot of classic and antiquarian Latin. It roughly translates as wondrous new science.
Don't like the sound of that. Wait, this is a goddamn genetics firm. The kind of idiots who played with DNA to make juicier apples whose blossoms poisoned bees and bigger cows that freeze to death in summer.
And biological weapons for the government?
Exactly.
Christy and JB paused in the alcove to check the desk, while the rest continued onward. Branching hallways cut the level into a maze of offices and rooms. Walking slowly along the main hallway, Ryan passed a guard station with a pile of loose clothing and bones behind a waist-high plexiglass barrier. Bending, he rummaged through the clothing, but found nothing.
Was hoping for an ID badge. Might have made the droids leave us alone, but no luck.
What?
The companion spun about to see a gorilla clawing at the window. Furiously, the mutie beat on the plexiglass window with three fists, but the bulletproof material wasn't affected in the least by the savage pummeling. Baring its fangs, the creature pulled back and threw itself at the norms only yards away. The window bent a little, then popped from the frame, throwing the beast to the floor. Swiveling his bulky weapon, Ryan gave the gorilla a short M1A burst. The burning spray engulfed the creature completely. Retreating a step, the one-eyed warrior doused the gorilla again, filling its screaming mouth with the burning spray. Temporarily beyond pain, the ape bellowed a roar and beat its chest, a living nightmare still struggling forward through the fiery flow. Working the bolt on his long blaster, Dean pumped a couple of rounds from the Weatherby into the creature. Geysers of blood exploded from the beast's back. Out of Gren's, Jack stitched it with a wreath of tumblers from the chattering M16, the slugs peppering its hide. The beast staggered backward and tumbled out the broken window. A flaming meteor, the howling animal plummeted to the hard street, 5 stories below. Tiny patches of flame dotted the hallway carpeting from the flamethrower spray, and the companions moved away from the destroyed corridor, a stiff breeze outside the gaping window sucking out the putrid fumes rising from the melting carpet.
How'd it find us here?
No way it could have. It must have been here for the same reason the droids are, standing guard.
Apes outside the city, droids in the streets, a cafeteria that could feed 100 soldiers. What in hell were scientists doing here that required that much protection?
Excuse me, but where are JB and Christy?
Will it ever stop?
Christy fired another burst from her M16 into the plexiglass wall, the slugs slapping into the soft material and staying there. The moment JB broke open a locked drawer in the desk, the transparent barrier silently descended from the ceiling to seal them off in a heartbeat.
Hey, guys!
Ryan!
Despite their best efforts to alert the rest of the party to their predicament, the rest of the group had walked away, obviously not hearing a thing.
Same as the windows downstairs. Must be some kind of burglar trap.
Millie says folks were allowed to chill thieves in the pre-dark world. Stupidest thing I ever heard of. Ah, found it. There's a hidden button down here.
Maybe it opens this barrier. Press it, quick.
Have already. Anything happen?
Nothing.
Shit. I'll try different combinations. One long, one short, two in a row. Let me know as soon as it moves.
Gotcha.
Suddenly, Ryan and the rest ran into view. Stopping before the sealed-off alcove, they stared at the plexiglass shield. Ryan asked a question, but Christy touched her ears and shook her head. Understanding that vocal communication was impossible, the one-eyed man frowned and stepped closer, looking at the slugs embedded in the plastic material. Reaching in a pocket, he withdrew a grin and gestured her to move away.
The others are back. Ryan's going to try a grin.
Good. I wanted to use the claymore, but trapped in here, the concussion probably would have pulped us both.
In the hallway, the companion started making a pile of furniture to help contain the blast, when Christy noticed one of the elevators down the hallway open its doors. Standing inside the lift was a droid, its belly needler swiveling in search of prey. Nobody in the hall seemed to notice the arrival of the elevator, and continued working to free their trapped friends.
Ryan! Droid!
She fired her M16 in the approaching machine's direction as a warning. The impact of the 7.62mm rounds into the barrier had to have made some small noise because Ryan looked up in time to see the thing crawling from the elevator. Without hesitation, the man triggered the flamethrower, the burning lance washing over the machine in a hellstorm of liquid destruction. Blinded by the flames, the droid cut loose with its needler, the slivers tearing apart the pile of furniture as wood chips and stuffing exploded into the air like confetti. Dropping to a knee, Dean assumed a firing stance and triggered the weather gun, a foot-long tongue of flame erupting from the long blaster. The robot jerked from the brutal impact into its armored hull, the needler going wild, hosing the deadly slivers into the ceiling, chewing the tiles into dust.